everybody. It's Burnsy and the Suns could not contain Anthony Edwards in Game 1, and now Phoenix has some work to do if they're going to get back in this series. We'll give you all the big takeaways from the Game 1 loss, starting at straight up 2 o'clock on Arizona Sports. It starts with
I don't know why it doesn't even matter. Hey, don't expect Devin Booker to be a non-factor offensively, and he really was while that game was hanging in the balance on Saturday. He ended up with 18 points, but not only anybody watching that game, I don't think Devin Booker felt like he had 18 points in that game. 5 of 16 from the field, Wolf. By contrast, Kevin Durant was 11 of 17, 31 points. KD basically did what you would expect. Even in a bad game, he's still going to give you between about 28 and 32 points, and there you go.
Yeah, it was hard. You know how much respect and admiration I have for Devin Booker, and I know we all kind of feel that way, Basinonians, but for the most part, Book was bad, and you've got to call it the way that it is. And you know what's cool about this? Is if Devin Booker were to listen to this, he'd be the first one to tell you that. this is what I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I don't know if Book has changed this year at all, but based on all of the conversations we've had with him in the past, of course, and just watching him conduct himself and what he says about himself, we're talking about a superstar that is a very humble guy. He'd be the first one to tell you he was bad, and he was.
Here's Booker on trying to find his rhythm.
Oh, he's a ball kid, You know, we all just need to adjust to, you know, the playoff physicality. Maybe an ultra physical with me, and then I had 3 early fouls to the bench. So, you know, just trying to find the leading connections.
You know, if that's all it is, if it's just a matter of we got to adjust, you know, it's a little bit of a different game, then that's fine because it's a 7-game series as long as you adjust. But if it takes 2 or 3 games to adjust, it's not going to be a 7-game series.
Right, exactly. And I would expect Devin Booker to look completely different in Game 2 of this series.
I would, too. I mean, that he's one of those guys that, like you said, who knows if things are a little bit different this year or not. But his whole body of work in his career would indicate if you shut him down, you're going to pay for it in the second game. You know what I mean? Like, you shut him down in Game 1, okay, well, then you're going to have to deal with 44 points in Game 2 or whatever. Jaden McDaniels, you know, I think everybody laughed when the Suns got Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards is like, yeah, okay, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels a year or so ago. And that it is silly. He's not Kevin Durant, but he is a good defender. And so how much of what happened on Saturday is because he's a good defender? Again, we'll find out. I think we'll know a lot more after tomorrow. If the Suns bounce back and it's 1-1, it's a best of 5, you still like the Suns. If they're down 2-0, I do not subscribe to the, well, the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game or the home team loses a game, because that's not true. If the home team wins every game, the Suns aren't winning the series.
Yeah, you know, I understand the sentiment, though, for the most part right now. I expect the Suns to come back, and now knowing what to expect through 4 quarters, I expect them to even their intensity level and their physicality out for the entire 4 quarters. That's what they do. This is how they respond. This is how they've been all season long, for the most part, up and down. And I talked about it before the series even started. Can you imagine the way the Suns, some people are feeling like the Suns, this is great, we beat them 3 times in the regular season, when the Suns have shown a proclivity for backing off when things look like all is well, right? We've seen that all season long. It's an inconsistency, and this is one of the reasons why you don't want to be inconsistent. You don't. You want to be consistent all season long. Now, I get there are reasons why you're playing up and you're playing down. I understand that, but the inconsistency of the Phoenix Suns is one of the reasons why you came out and you saw them play Game 1, and it just didn't look like the Suns after that first quarter. It looked like they just backed off and slowly faded away. Will that happen in Game 2? I don't expect it to. I think they know what they're in for, and I'd expect the Suns to come out and steal this one.
This whole season has been an indicator or something that would suggest that in a 7-game series, if you want to use the boxing analogy, the Suns probably aren't going to throw the first punch because that's kind of been the way it's been a lot of this season. But they are going to have a retaliation, and that would be tomorrow's game. That's why I think, because you did say this last week. You were like, wow, this really looks like it's in a best matchup for the Suns, this and that. Okay, they should feel good, and that's usually when they lose.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now they shouldn't feel good. They're down 0-1 a best-of-seven series to a team that had a better record than them this season. If you feel good now, there's no... We're going to play the rest of the series.
I know. The inconsistencies, once again, it's one of the reasons why I believe this is going to go seven games. Flip a coin. Who wins that seventh game?
Here's KD on Devin Booker's performance in game one.
I just think he missed some tough ones, you know, some easy ones that he normally makes. And, you know, I think he can be more aggressive to shoot more shots in the first half. But for the most part, he's trying to play the right way, trying to play hard, you know, and he got us going there in the third by making a couple shots, you know. So I'm not worried about Book. I think he'll come out here and have a great game, too.
There's KD on when the Suns' offense is at its best.
I think that is our rhythm, is when we find mismatches. Is we break down the defense and try to create for others, you know, break our man down one-on-one and make the extra pass, you know. That's when we get our blender going, when everybody's touching the ball. So we got to mix it up, obviously, and play different styles. But for the most part, we like breaking our man down and trying to create something for ourselves or our teammates.
You know, go back to the first cut where you said, I'm not worried about Book.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's it, right? I don't think anybody's worried about Devin Booker. If Devin Booker's going to have an off series, then they're going to lose. You could say that for any team in these playoffs. Chances are if their best player or one of their two best players is just randomly not going to have it, mm-hmm. then that team's going to lose. But the best players have it. They can have an off night, and then they're going to come back and play five straight strong games.
Yeah. You know, you just listening to KD talk right there. He's talking about breaking them down. You know, we break them down. How do you break them down? Well, you take the ball and you get into the paint. And that still is one of the best things Devin Booker does. Would you not agree with that, Luke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, I mean, Book is one of those guys. He can do that. He can score on every level, of course, as we all know. But Devin Booker breaking down the perimeter defense, I think is really, really important, especially as well as he finishes. And it's one of the reasons why he just did not get the opportunity to get to the line very often. It seemed like it was always Bradley Beal who was trying to break it down, and rightfully so, because he's really, really good at it.
You're right, though. There are moments, and we've seen this throughout his career, where Booker will just blow right by somebody at the perimeter and get right past everybody and put it in. And when he does it, you're like, he probably could do that like the next four trips down the court. The other team's not going to know what to do because you're so fast with that first step. But... you know, nothing was going in yesterday. I don't think he's going 5 of 16 again, even if Jaden McDaniels is the greatest defender ever. Devin Booker's going to figure out a way to get his points. And yes. If he doesn't, I mean, you know, the other part of this is you have a big three for a reason. KD at 31.
That's right.
I mean, most teams don't have a big three. So part of that, to me, was if one guy has an off night, you've got two other guys that can still combine for a ton of points. But it didn't work out on Saturday, and it has to work out now. On Tuesday. The NFL draft is just days away, so who's freak number one in Wolf's Freak Show? He's going to tell you next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Vince Marotta. Can the D-backs keep it going in St. Louis against the Cardinals? That and a lot more starting at 6. Join us, won't you, here on Arizona Sports.
All right, all the time we've been talking about the draft, getting ready for this week. I've been looking forward to this, Wolf. It's time for the freak show. You're going to have four freaks this week.
That's right.
Leading up to the draft. Now, as I understand this, and correct me if I'm wrong, these aren't necessarily, they're not your four best players. They're
correct.
Your four freaks of the draft.
No, I love the fact that you said that, Luke, because it's very, very important. It doesn't mean these guys are going to be great football players. It just means they are incredibly freaky. And I have seen many, many freaky players over the course of my 10 years in the National Football League, and I am fascinated with it. I always have been. Some guys with this incredible talent and all of this ability doesn't mean they're going to be great pros. It just means that they definitely are freaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. You will be mesmerized by their potential. potential. Their size and athleticism set them apart from the rest. Forget about the bearded lady, folks, or the yak woman. This is Wolf's Freak Show.
I'm about ready to get freaky up in here. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Watch a man run faster than a lightning strike. See the man kick his own butt with his heels as he runs. Watch him bite on a hitch and run down the go. See the man they call Cumulonimbus. Oh, Quinion Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo. Wait for it, Luke. Wait for it. You're going to want to do it, but don't do it. Wait for it. Quinion Mitchell is the epitome of freaks. The cornerback from Toledo is a specimen like no other. He is thick. He is big. He is strong, and he produces lightning-fast ability between the white lines. A cumulonimbus cloud, also known as a thunderhead, is a dense vertical cloud that looks like an anvil in the sky and is the only cloud type that produces thunder and lightning. Cumulus is Latin for heaped and nimbus for rainstorm. Quinion Mitchell could produce a lot of heaped-on rainstorms for quarterbacks and offensive coordinators. At 6 foot, 200 pounds, Mitchell is one of the thickest corners I have ever seen. He's known for his tackling in the open field, dominating receivers, showing a ferocity and tenacity that belies the position. His physical traits are without critique. He is exceptional in every way, shape, or form in which you can measure. At the combine, he bench pressed 225 pounds 21 times. We're talking about a corner. Squatted it 44 times and ran in the 4.3s. Not once, but twice. And Quinion recorded a top speed of 23.58 miles per hour on the GPS over the summer. The combine was abuzz with Quinion Mitchell talk. According to science, cumulonimbus can form alone, in clusters, or along squall lines. These clouds are capable of producing dangerous, severe weather such as tornadoes, hazardous winds, and large hailstones. Quinion Mitchell is capable of producing passes defensed and interceptions. His ball skills are as good as it gets for his level. Mitchell also shows instincts of a safety and yet has the ability to walk up and play press man on wide receivers. Although he can get into trouble in man cover because he doesn't always trust his eyes, Quinion plays in a zone better than any corner I've seen since Everson Walls. Cumulonimbus progress from underdeveloped cumulus congestus clouds and may further develop as a part of a supercell. Quinion Mitchell has all the ability to be a supercell on an island named Mitchell.
Wolf's Freak Show
with Wolf and Luke.
There it is. Quinion Mitchell. A freak, indeed. 6 foot, 200 pounds for a corner?
Yeah, it's a little... That's
it. Man, that is thick right there. And yet, here's a guy that's, again, in the 4.3s. He's got great speed, and he's strong. 21 reps for a corner at 225. Keep in mind, I did 23.
I figured once okay. I heard the... He must have done more than that.
But still, I mean, here's a guy, he's a corner. He did 21 reps. That's pretty good.
I tell you the one thing, when you said it was cumulonimbus, I was like, okay, I'm going to find a fact about a cumulonimbus cloud.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of myself that I found that it was the only cloud that can produce hail, thunder and lightning.
Yes.
And then you said it in there.
Yeah.
So now I've learned, so, I know nothing. I have nothing to bring to the cumulonimbus table.
But, you know, that's what he reminds me of, is he does have the thunder. And at 6 foot, 200 pounds, he does have that. And he's very, very strong as a corner. But he's also got the lightning at 4.3. And there are many people who believe Mitchell is the best corner in the draft. Not all, of course. But there are many. Tyrion Arnold, of course, is one of the guys that most people point to and say he's the best corner in this draft. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. He is very, very talented, and he is a freak.
Somebody, too, and not all the freaks are going to be this way. You're going to unleash the second freak tomorrow, correct? And
yes.
Then, okay, yeah. So not all of these guys are going to fit the under the umbrella of somebody that could be drafted by the Cardinals, but I would say he does. I mean, not at 4 and probably not available at 27, but if they do make a trade and all of a sudden they have a couple first-round picks this year and they do need a corner, that's a freak that could end up on the Arizona Cardinals. Do you know off the top of your head how many freaks you've done over the years that the Cardinals have had?
Oh, my goodness. No,
I don't really feel like there's been very many.
Yeah, I don't. And again, you know, I pick guys that are true freaks. They're not always the best players, of course,
yeah,
but just true freaks. And this guy definitely qualifies. You just go ahead. I don't know if there's a corner in the league right now who's 6 feet, 200 pounds. I'm trying to think of a corner that is 200 pounds in the league. You don't see a lot of them. That's my point.
Yeah, that would be about an inch shorter than me, inch and a half shorter than me, and about 10 pounds heavier than me, and a lot faster. You know, so what you're saying for a corner for that position where it's so vital to be so quick and so light on your feet, not that he's big, but for a corner, you're going to be able to pick him out on the field pretty quickly.
And one of the cool things Quinyon Mitchell does as well, based on Orleans, is he gets after receivers. He's very, very physical. He's very cognizant of the fact that he is bigger than a lot of the receivers. And when I say bigger, I'm talking about that 200 pounds, that butt right there. He is bigger. And he is stronger. 21 reps, again, at 225 on the bench. 21 for a corner is really, really good. And guess what? He beats up some wide receivers.
I bet.
He really does. He beats them up. He's very, very physical on tackling wide receivers. I wouldn't say he's very physical in terms of tackling running backs and tight ends. He's more about taking his size and imposing his will, so to speak, on wide receivers that way. And he also plays in a zone room very, very well. This is an innate ability. It speaks to his mindset. It speaks to his understanding of the game of football and a zone room responsibility and how to read a quarterback. Because that, to me, is where he gets a lot of his passes defensed, is in his zone room. That's when he makes plays. He plays it very, very well.
Yeah, just as a reference point, I'm looking at the Mel Kiper Field Yates mock. That's the most recent Mel Kiper one, and that was from last week. They have Quinyon Mitchell going 13th to the Raiders, and Kiper says in there that that's his top-ranked quarterback. I know you said some
there
people
you go.
Consider him
yeah.
the best. I wonder, because we know it's Tarion Arnold, because he said this at the Combine. Remember, in the meeting with the Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon was like, all right, I'm going to I'm going to get around you. You push me back. I wonder if he did that with Quinyon Mitchell if they met with him, because Quinyon Mitchell's a little bit bigger than Tarion Arnold.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all if he did, because JG,
that's just JG.
You'd want to feel that. You know what? Come on, dude. Jam me a little bit right here, okay?
He said Nick Rollis was playing offensive line, and one of the defensive linemen almost pushed him through the TV.
Yeah, I could see that. These guys getting down in 3 points.
Yeah.
So cool.
Okay, freak number one.
There
I love
is.
This. We got
yes.
three more freaks coming from Wolf's Freak Show this week. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, how much of an impact will Grayson Allen's injury have on the Suns in this series? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Everybody, Dan Bickley here, and tomorrow we'll get you prepped for Game 2 of the Suns-Timberwolves. Don't miss a minute. We kick it off at 6 a.m. on Arizona Sports.
All right, well, it wouldn't be an update about an Arizona sports team if there wasn't an injury mixed in, too. Not only did the Suns lose on Saturday, but Grayson Allen, who did not have a good game, also got hurt in the game. And so, this is... That was kind of like the extra insult to injury, although it was the injury. So I guess it was injury to insult on Saturday, Wolf, because Grayson Allen has been a huge difference maker for this team this season. He absolutely was not on Saturday. He went 0 for 3. They were all threes. He missed all those. Finished the game with 4 free throws made. But, I mean, he really was not much of a contributor on Saturday. But make no mistake about it, the way this season played out, if they're going to do anything of significance in the playoffs, they're going to need him. Because it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier. If Devin Booker or any of the big three has an off night, well, you still have Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. And then you also have Grayson Allen. But for whatever reason on Saturday, you really just had Kevin Durant. Grayson Allen didn't do much of anything, and then he got hurt. Bradley Beal was, you know, okay production-wise, but you would hope if Booker's not going to produce as much as normal, that Beal would produce more.
Yeah, you know what was really odd about this, too? You know, I'm big on plus-minus for the most part. You know, it's not the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying that. But it is very peculiar, and it's very interesting in this game. A game where the Suns lost by 25 points, that Jusuf Nurkić was a minus one in this.
Yeah.
Played 27 minutes and was minus one. And Grayson Allen played 25 minutes and was minus six. The biggest minuses, of course, came with Devin Booker, minus 15, and Kevin Durant, minus 20. Interesting right there. Again, I throw that out there because I think the big three has got to be the big three in game number two. We have got to see them. I think you came up with a number, 75. Was it 75 points? 75 points. They had to score 75 points, and that made you feel good right there, like they were all involved. And I think the big three needs to flex in a big way in game number two.
I think that's a good call. Minnesota got to do their thing in game one. You don't like it, but it's a good team. It's inevitable that stuff's going to happen in the playoffs. Game two needs to be a clinic on just how dangerous the big three are.
Yes.
You know, KD, just go ahead and pencil him in for between 28 and 32, because he's going to get you that every time. It'd be nice to see Booker go out there and bring that average way up in this series. Okay, you held me to 18 on 5 of 16 shooting. I'd love to see an efficient Devin Booker. He doesn't have to be the guy that was shooting like 80% in the first round and a half of the playoffs last year. But, you know, more like maybe closer to 50%, maybe like 32 from Booker on 50% shooting. Let's see it. We've seen Minnesota's best. Now let's see what the Suns are really good at. And you might need it even more than ever this season, because Grayson Allen's questionable for the game.
Yeah, he's questionable. You know, Devin Booker, again, we were talking about him the last time, just a few minutes ago. We were talking about Devin Booker, and, you know, I honestly just want to see him show that aggressiveness that we've all come to know and respect and love about Book, playoff Book, right? Here we go. Just want to see him be more assertive, more aggressive right now. Unlike Grayson Allen, who only took 3 shots in the 25 minutes he was out on the floor. 3 shots, he missed them, all threes, of course. But I think he backed away too early. He's got to be more aggressive as well. Yeah, it's the big three. No doubt about it. And I get it. Grayson Allen, he's the new guy on, and suddenly he's getting paid $70 million, right?
He's getting paid $70 million, but he's costing well over $100 million.
He's costing over $100 million. Maybe he's got a little mental wear and tear going on right now. Maybe he's just got a Jedi mind trick himself to get over the top of this thing right now and be assertive, be aggressive, be decisive, the way that we've seen Grayson Allen be.
Well, this is why this is such a pivotal game coming up. You could say, yeah, for all the 8 teams that have lost game 1 in their series, game 2 is pretty pivotal, like, no kidding. But when you lose in a 7-game series, when you lose a game and a player in that game, like, you're in a tough position. Like, you got to bounce back now, because bouncing back from the loss is going to be harder without Grayson Allen. I know he didn't play well on Saturday, but we've seen him play very well this season. Matt Ishbia didn't just pay him all that money and pay all the extra tax just because. He paid him because Grayson Allen was a huge part of this team's success. We were talking about it last week. That's a guy that, if you don't have him on the team this year, he was probably worth, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 wins this season, the way things ultimately played out. It's great that you have the big three now. And Grayson Allen hasn't been, like, ruled out of the game tomorrow, but he's questionable. And so now you're coming out of a game where you lost a playoff game and you had an injury. Here's Frank Vogel's update on that injury.
X-ray's negative. It's an ankle sprain, and we'll see how he responds, you know, with treatment over the next few days.
There's Bradley Beal talking about the importance of Grayson Allen.
Grayson's huge, man. He's a beyond important piece to our team. You know, obviously a piece to our future as well. But, you know, what he does on the floor is, you know, it's kind of irreplaceable in some ways. You know, so we definitely wish he's healthy and he's back for game two. But if not, it's always next man up, and we have plenty of depth to make it work.
Yeah, just, you know, my impression of Grayson Allen. I'd like to, command and control, how do you feel about this as well? He's going to play. Do you feel like he's going to play? If he's questionable, he's going to play. Do you feel that way? Yes.
Yeah,
Rick gave me the thumbs up.
I feel, yeah, I guess my thought
my
is...
thought is, yes, he'll play. But then my next thought is, but what if he's close to being good? They don't want to ruin him for game 3, 4, 5, yeah. 6, and 7.
That's kind of where I was going in my head was like, yeah.
Do you have that luxury, do you think?
But is he going to be effective if he has a sprained ankle? Because he wasn't really effective on Saturday before the sprained ankle. And if he was fine, I wouldn't be worried about Grayson Allen in game 2. I'd be like, he'll bounce back, whatever. This whatever is- that version looks like. But if he's hurt and playing, I don't know.
This is the playoffs. Like, you've got to give it a go. At least give it a go.
Yeah, if the question is just if he's going to play, I would think he's going to play.
Yeah.
But is he going to miss all his shots again because he can't jump? I mean,
right.
I know.
No, I absolutely. You know, Grayson Allen with a square jaw and blue juice. There we go.
But I do think to a certain extent they're going to have to adjust. Frank Vogel was asked about that. And my impression of this question is it was asked more based on how Grayson Allen struggled than the actual injury itself.
Yeah, we'll consider everything. Yeah. But I like Eric Gordon, and you know, I like the threat. At any game, he can go in. If he goes 0 for 5 tonight, he'll be 5 for 5 next game. You know, he's that type of player.
Because Grayson had a few games there towards the end of the season where he had 9 points against the Clippers. He had 6 against the Clippers. Royce O'Neal started, you know, a little bit in there too. So, he's a big part of this. Somebody's going to have to step up. Either Grayson Allen's going to have to step up. I'm not really counting on that next game if he's hurt.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, then Eric Gordon or Royce O'Neal, somebody's going to have to step up or they're going to be down 0-2.
Yeah, listen, I don't mean any offense whatsoever on Eric Gordon at all because I got a great deal of regard for him. And not only that, if you watch him play, he's very physical.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon is very physical and uses that thick body very, very well. Royce O'Neal is the guy that I'm looking at right now. Hey, Royce, this is a physical series. This is right down your alley. This is what he is all about, Royce O'Neal. You want to play some defense? You want to get tough? Oh, you want? Okay, watch this. I'm expecting some big things out of Royce O'Neal. And it's not like he played poorly.
No.
I don't think he did play poorly at all. But Royce O'Neal is a guy that when you talk about somebody coming off the bench, when you talk about somebody that might actually fill the position of Grayson Allen, I think Royce O'Neal is job one for me.
They're going to have to get the scoring from somewhere because you're playing a team that's very good defensively. Devin Booker is coming off a game where he really didn't shoot very well at all. That's an understatement. So he's either got to bounce back, probably realistically, Wolf, he's got to bounce back, and then Eric Gordon or somebody's got to give them a jolt offensively too, because this is really only going to work if your big three's rolling and you're getting Grayson Allen-like production from somebody outside the big three. And, I mean, Nurk's dealing with a lot of big guys on Minnesota. That team is built to be big and dominate the glass, so I don't know how much we can count on him for a ton of scoring. Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily in the 8 o'clock, noon, and 3 o'clock hours to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the noon and 3 o'clock hours. We come back. How concerned do we have to be about the fact that now Merrill Kelly is hurt as well? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. The series by the Bay is in the books, and now the D-backs visit Goldie and the rest of the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll react to the weekend and get you ready for the first game on today's Burns and Gambo show, starting at straight up 2 o'clock.
Well, I think everybody would agree. Diamondbacks have already had more than their fair share of injuries. And that's in a baseball season, Wolf, where if you look around the league, it's just like every pitcher is hurt in baseball across the board. But the D-backs have had hitter injuries, too. And now Merrill Kelly's hurt, too.
Look, we're talking about the first 23 games of the season.
Yeah.
Come on, bruh.
Bruh.
I mean, are you kidding me? Just look what's happened to the rotation. I mean, everything from getting off to a slow start, of course, Jordan Montgomery and his rehab assignments, right? And E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez, of course, getting hurt.
It's brutal.
60-day IL. It is brutal.
The guys that were supposed to play a role on this team this season, you just mentioned the pitchers. Eduardo Rodriguez has been hurt. Montgomery wasn't hurt, but he wasn't available yet. But okay, we can set that. We can make that distinction. We can set that aside. But now you don't get Merrill Kelly. You already haven't had Paul Sewald. If you're looking at hitters, you haven't had Alec Thomas. You really haven't had Geraldo Perdomo. You couldn't even replace Perdomo with Jordan Lawler because he's hurt down at the minor league level. Now Blaze Alexander, I don't know if he's like hurt, but he left the game early with hamstring cramps. I don't think that one's as big of a deal, but he has been a big deal for this team this season. But the Merrill Kelly one is just like,
come on. You know what, honestly, can I just say this?
I think I'm going to agree with what you're about to say.
That's scary for me.
To me, I was just going to say it's the worst one.
Okay, yeah.
No,
it's, you know me, I do not splatter easily based on earnings. I do not.
I don't know that the injury is the worst one. I don't think the injury, but I'm just saying, of players you can't afford to lose, you can't afford to lose Merrill Kelly.
You can't afford to lose Merrill Kelly. And just listening to Merrill Kelly talk about what he was feeling made me think that he's definitely hurt. He just didn't go, oh, something popped out right there and all of a sudden. No, he felt something that was significant. Now, how significant? We don't know. But when I hear Merrill Kelly, and I think of Merrill Kelly as a guy who just walked off the farm, if you know what I mean. Okay, and I don't mean that.
Not the farm system.
I don't mean that in a derogatory kind of, I'm talking about he got off the John Deere and just walked over. This is a simple man to me. That's the way I see Merrill Kelly. Do you see him different? How do you see the image?
Well, I went to ASU,
Kelly.
So obviously I have the ASU image.
So you have the ASU
thing. But I honestly, my view of him is the most, and it's tough to say this with Zach Gallen on the roster, but to me, just it doesn't get any more reliable than Merrill Kelly.
Reliable. See, a farmer is reliable to me. Yeah. Once again, all right, somebody out in the country, if you've had any exposure to farmers, ladies and gentlemen, they're some of the most reliable people you'll ever be around. It's incredible. They go about their business. They work every day. First of all, they have to work every day. And they're reliable. They go about their business in a very farmer kind of way. And Merrill Kelly strikes me as that type of guy right there. So when he says he felt something, and it was mild, and he didn't want to put anyone into a panic, but when he says he felt something, it seems significant to me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. And also, we had Jody Jackson on last hour. She made a good point where in this day and age with a pitcher, you're going to err on the side of caution anyway. So
yes,
it's possible, and I'm trying to be optimistic, but man, this team is just getting run over by injuries. But
Come on. Possible
that this injury isn't that bad, but that he might still go on the IL anyway. He's not on the IL right now. Right now, he's just day-to-day. But with the way teams handle pitchers, and I get it because, I mean, again, you look around the league, there's a lot of pitchers out for a long time. I'm not a doctor. I don't think Merrill Kelly, I'm not looking at this saying like, oh, he's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it saying, this is a team that is, what they're averaging, 5.7 runs per game, the D-backs, which is tied for third in all of baseball, okay? Only Atlanta and Baltimore are scoring more runs per game than the Diamondbacks, and yet the Diamondbacks are below 500. So they're clearly giving up way too many runs. And even in that environment, Merrill Kelly's got a sub-3 ERA and a sub-1 whip.
Yeah.
You pretty can't good. Lose him.
Pretty good right there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, Luke. You know, when I heard this, though, I said, no way. I yelled. I was literally in the comp and I yelled.
Yeah. I think I heard you.
When I heard this
from
news
Tempe.
Right here, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. And once again, so much of that had to do with Merrill Kelly himself and the type of guy that I view him to be once again. And I think we all kind of see him in that light. But It was like, I wanted to say, Merle, can I talk to you for a minute over here? when you say shoulder, can you be a little bit more specific on that?
Can you mean not shoulder? Is that possible?
Yes. Is it anywhere near your lat?
The injury is a minor terrace major strain, or okay, mild. We're hearing mild terrace major.
Will you go ahead and text me that as well? Yes, so I have that in front of me right there.
It just sounds bad. It has tear and major in it.
It's a terrace.
But it's not a tear, and it's not major.
How good is a terrace? I mean,
call Jody again. She took Latin.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like major tear. It's actually mild strain. Okay,
mild strain. Yes. Yeah, I know.
Mild strain's a lot better. I don't know what the Latin for mild strain is.
Yeah.
Marillus Kellius.
Yeah, I don't either. But Slade Ciccone, how about, do you believe this guy?
Slade stepping in.
What an incredible job
dealing.
He did. I mean, that was, I was laughing out loud, dude. When he had completed four innings base on innings on 33 pitches.
No hits. He's like, yeah, you should have had me up here the whole time.
33 pitches, man. I mean, Slade Ciccone, did you see the emotion that he was pitching with? He was hanging on everything, every play that guys were making in the outfield. He was, and I get it. I think we all understand the emergency start, the spot start he got. And he went out there and the first inning was 11 pitches, and then 6 in the second, and then 6 in the third, and then 10 in the fourth.
It's absurd.
Just incredible.
And that's especially important because as we were trying to name all the injuries, and there's been so many that we couldn't list them all off, Ryan Nelson's also on the injured list.
Yeah, right.
So let's see. What was your rotation was supposed to be, in theory, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jordan Montgomery, Brandon Pfaadt, in whatever order you want to put them in.
Yeah.
Rodriguez has been hurt.
Okay.
Jordan Montgomery wasn't pitching because he was getting ready.
Correct.
So you have Ryan Nelson in there. Ryan Nelson's hurt too.
Yeah, he's gone.
And then you get into the bullpen and Paul Sewald's hurt.
Okay, Paul, what are you doing?
Paul.
Have we heard anything on Paul
Sewald? Can we conjure one of these guys back up?
And we got to talk to Paul. He's one of our favorite guys.
Yeah, I like having Paul on the show.
He's one of our favorite guys, Basinonians. We got to get Sewald. That's what we're going to call him, Sewald. We got to get Sewald on the show.
What is his last name? That wasn't like an amazing name.
Well, I know.
It wasn't like Cumulonimbus or anything. We're going to call Sewald Sewald. That was like Zach Greinke's nickname on the back of his jersey.
I loved it, but honestly, once again, going back to Ciccone right now, he pounded the strike zone. Mm-hmm. Did you watch this game? 73% of his pitches were strikes. He was just attacking the strike zone. Slade Ciccone, man, 6 innings pitched, gave up 2 hits, did not walk a hitter. Think about that. Did not walk. What kind of whip is that right there, Slade?
That's kind of the way.
It's not Paul Sewald's whip. I guarantee you that much.
All right. Alec Thomas, Geraldo Perdomo, Eduardo Rodriguez, Ryan Nelson, Paul Sewald, Merrill Kelly. Am I forgetting anybody else that's out right now?
Man.
Let's right now collectively as a show choose one that we're just going to will to come back into the lineup.
Okay. It's going to be Merrill.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. My initial reaction is Merrill, too.
I said Merrill, so you can't say Merrill.
No,
okay, you can't. I took Merrill, you can't.
The whole point is that we're all going to pull in the same direction. We have to agree on one. We agree it's Merrill? Because if I can't take Merrill, I'm going to take Paul Sewald. I'd like to have a closer.
You want to take Paul Sewald.
But the whole point of the exercise was that we push all our energy into getting on board, put all our positive energy into the universe to get Merrill Kelly back in the lineup. Any of them, really. I'll take any of them.
Honestly, right now, it's just the rotation. I'm so, we're thinking, oh my goodness, do you believe they got Jordan Montgomery right after signing Eduardo Rodriguez in the offs? We were just, wow, this is so cool, right?
Yes.
We were so, oh my goodness. And when I say we, okay, maybe I'll take personal responsibility.
I had really high expectations for this team, and I still do. We just haven't seen them play
yet. The rotation coming into this season, you were like, man, you're telling me Pfaadt is number 5? We got Brandon Pfaadt is number 5. I mean, you just felt really, really good
I don't even, what's the rotation now? Zach Gallen, Jordan Montgomery, Brandon Pfaadt, Slade Ciccone.
Slade.
Bullpen day?
Hey, Slade, how about it, man? I mean, you know what, Slade?
Don't say bullpen day around Mike Hazen. He'll trade for four more pitchers. But right now, I don't think they have a five-man rotation somehow. All right, coming up next, we're going to take you through the top stories of the day with Wolf and Down Your Lunch. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.